If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. I'm Andy Mitten. United We Stand is sponsored by BetOnBrazil.com.
Latest United We Stand 250.
It's a new website, betting site, and they're good enough to sponsor us, so have a look at BetOnBrazil.com. There's offers on there for United
We Stand
readers. As you might have gathered by the background noise, stood outside Old Trafford before the game against Zorya. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm going to try and learn tonight how to pronounce it. It's spitting with rain. The sun is setting behind the Stretford end at Old Trafford. I've got a few good United fans with me. Peter Bolton, you're on the podcast in Beijing. And what happened after Beijing? Because United's game against City was postponed. You'd bought a ticket for the match. You'd spent a lot of money travelling to Beijing. And that's where we left it with you.
Yeah, that's about what happened. Eventually, they credited us. There was eight in our party. They credited us with the 80-odd quid a ticket, which I'd paid out. So very nice of them to credit them. And today, they've also offered or each person in there two free tickets to the next game at Old Trafford. United versus Feyenoord.
So when you say they, this is the club. They're giving them £80 ticket price back.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous price for a ticket.
It's a ridiculous price for a ticket.
But they've come through and said two complimentary tickets for Feyenoord at home.
Yeah.
By way of like, we know you wait to Beijing.
Yeah, and they can't do anything else because it was a holiday. So they've compensated us like that, just giving us a couple of free tickets for the next round of the UEFA. I'd rather it be two tickets for Liverpool and Chelsea away, but I don't think they'd do that.
You were quite optimistic about United at the start of the season when I spoke to you.
Still am. Yeah. Still am. Had a bit of a blip, but I think tonight and then Sunday into this week, two more wins, I think we'll be back on back going again. And you know, other teams have got to play top teams. I mean, certain teams have been, you know, that are at the top now. They've played six league games, is it? And five of them are the bottom five in the league at the moment. And Manchester United away, and they're bragging they've won all six. But if you look at the league table, they've had a knockout in United here, which is a good win for them. They've had five of the teams at the bottom. They've got Tottenham coming up away now. So somebody's going to drop points there. We could be moving up from fifth to second or third this weekend, so quite optimistic at the end of the season we'll be finishing the top three.
You watch a lot of United's younger teams, the 23s, the 18s. What has been your assessment of the way they've played so far this season? Is there any players who someone should watch out for who maybe doesn't watch the number of games that you do?
Well, Gomez, he was only 15, about 16, turned during this season. I think it was in August or September, so he's very young. But at the moment, we've got an under-23s with a fantastic defence and no forwards, and we've got an under-18 with fantastic forwards. We've got four or five great forwards and no defence, you know. So, I mean, I know there's a big age gap, but if you could combine the best of the under-23s defence and the best of the under-18s attack, we'd have a corker of a team. You know, we've got forwards in the under-18s that know how to score goals, whereas I don't think we've got one forward in the under-23s. I don't know why we don't play, you know, Schweinsteiger or Memphis. You know, we allowed overage players, and what the midfield could learn from a Schweinsteiger or a Memphis up front, or an Ashley Young who's not getting games, or, you know, whoever's fit, you know, put a couple of them in, you know, it'd help them, I'm sure, but I'm not picking it.
We put a bit of insight in the latest United We Stand about Angel Gomez. He's very, very highly rated. Maybe one reason the 23s don't have a striker is because the coaches had planned it to be Marcus Rashford.
Seriously. Oh, yeah, you know, well, it probably is.
They planned for him to play this season for the 23s, well, or 21s.
21s or 23s. He's
and, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for them, but fortunately for us, he's
totally agree. And I mean, really, I mean, people say, did you see him much in the you know, reserves 21s? Well, we can say no, because he didn't play for the reserves of the 21s, straight from the 18s straight to the first team, really. And he only really got his thing in the first team because of circumstances, i.e. injuries, and we'd sent a couple out on loan, and he just got his thing and took it.
Because Van Gaal wasn't watching him. He wasn't paying enough attention to the youth setup because his priority was the first team, which is understandable as well. And then he had to come to him in emergency. You watch a lot of football. Can you tell us 26 things we didn't know about tonight's opponent, Zorya?
I can't even tell you one thing. I don't even know where they're from, because I know I'm going to Odessa, which is their third choice ground, because the first choice ground's in the war zone. The second choice ground's not up to UEFA, the one they play in the league. And now we're going to Odessa. And I know nothing about Odessa, except I might know a bit more when I come back in
And I know a bit about it. I went to Ukraine a couple of years ago, and to the very famous port along the Black Sea coast from Odessa, which is so famous that I've forgotten the name of it, and it's actually doing me head in. And Yalta, there was a famous Second World War treaty signed there with Stalin and Churchill and Roosevelt. Jesus, people are going to be laughing at me now. I've been there, and it's on the Black Sea, and it's a port, and it's very nice, and it's further along from Odessa. But anyway, Odessa's supposed to be very nice. Did you see footage of ultras from Odessa attacking Fenerbahce fans at the first game? I was a little bit unnerved at that.
No.
Trying to set fire to one. So
I wouldn't.
When you go there, watch your back.
Yeah, I wouldn't have even thought, because, I mean, Odessa is a lot. Ultras from Odessa are ultras from Zoya.
No, ultras from
Odessa.
Right,
because I was going to say that the place is miles from other place. But I thought there'd be a load of Ukrainians supporting the Ukrainian team, but there won't be that many supporting their own fans. So, yeah, I'd not even thought about it there. But Fenerbahce got some. They're a bit buffalo. Next two games, they did two war zones pretty well. So.
Yeah. Well, I've watched Fenerbahce in the new ground. I went there in 2009. I went there with United a couple of times as well, and the atmosphere is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. 50,000 seater, it's going to be brilliant there, so I'm looking forward to that. Maybe we'll see you over there. Thanks for joining us again.
Okay, thank you very much, Andy.
Join another United fan and United We Stand contributor, Tom Lee. What have you made of this season, mate?
Mixed bag. It was always going to be a little bit of a curve, and there were bound to be a few bumps in the road. I think the one thing that we were always scared about is, would the young players get the fair crack of the whip? And maybe as we're looking through, you just see that there's a very much the spine of the team is big, muscular, physical players. Quite a direct style of football. That's no surprise to anybody. It's been okay though so far. I wouldn't say it's been above or below expectations. The Derby defeat was a bitter pill to swallow, no pun intended, but we move on from there. And Europa League, well, no blood spilt there. And listen, it's still all to go, really. I mean, I think if we can get rocking now into the month of October, when you look at, for example, Liverpool away, Chelsea away, big games coming up in two cup competitions, and if they can just sit on the coattails of the leaders, ride a bit of a waiting race in behind, even if they sit in, what, fourth, fifth, sixth position, a lot can change between now and then, because for all that City look excellent, and given their due, there's a lot can change between now and then. Look at De Bruyne injured, the lads who cut what hair I've got left. They're City fans, and they were saying to me today, we desperately want De Bruyne back for the Barcelona game. Already, bit of panic there.
He's out for a month.
Well, that's only got to be a positive, because he has looked very good. I mean, you look at the way Celtic had them rattled last night. All of a sudden, one early goal, they're all screaming offside. Never mind that, the season will level itself out.
You mentioned City and the derby. City are clear favourites to win the league now with the bookmakers. It's an area you know a bit about. The bookmakers are not often wrong, are they? And United are quite long odds at the moment.
Sure, but the art of bookmaking is actually to dress something up and make it look attractive when perhaps it isn't. And the bookie always builds in a nice percentage for themselves. And bear in mind, they'd be very happy right now to lay City at 8-13. That's bet 13 to win 8. Of course, you get your stake back for anybody pondering how that works. But the bottom line is, really, right now, with, what, 7 months of the season still to run, you've got to say, bookies would be absolutely biting your hand off if you're walking in with 130 to win 80.
Sound like a professional there. Zorya, the Europa League, do you have much enthusiasm for it?
Already my favourite Russian side in the Europa League, courtesy of their £5 away tickets and the executive ticket, should you wish to lash out if you're making the journey, a massive £18. So therefore,
are you going? You weighed up.
Absolutely, truthfully and honestly, the ambition to go to a new ground, high. The ambition to have a £5 away ticket, or equivalent in rubles, high. The sense and sensibility of attending 17 days before Christmas a game in a rebel-occupied war zone, mildly less enthusiastic, I think it's fair to say.
I'm thinking of getting a going from Moldova. Well, I've not told my wife any of this.
Professional football journalist and and world-renowned traveller.
That's my excuse, is that I'm going for work, but there's an area called Transnistria, no, not Frank Sinatra, to the east of Moldova, where it's not recognised by any government and it's sort of rebel-held as well. So maybe I'm not being fair to my daughters if I get kidnapped and... on the Moldova-Ukraine border.
Yeah, nonetheless, the United We Stand readers expect nothing less than their
editor, story, wouldn't it?
Their leader, to be there.
It'd be a great story. Got kidnapped for a year, writing about it.
Absolutely, no problem. No, I think, joking aside, Istanbul looks very attractive, as
yeah,
you know well.
It's a great city, great city.
Well,
I didn't think that the first time I went there and got locked up, but I've been many times since, and I think it's a fantastic city. Well, you've just got to use your head. You can't act up there. If you're in Taksim Square... and you're bringing it on top and you're being very sort of drunken and in a massive group, you're going to attract negative attention.
Yeah, I think the actual reality of that situation is, for example, when we were there the last time I went to Istanbul with United was 2004,
yeah.
And we found that even actually inside the Blue Mosque, the famous Blue Mosque, people are actually cruising up to you saying, can I give you a little bit of information? You try and sidle away, they give you a couple of really innocuous facts, and then the hand comes out. And if you decline that unique opportunity to send a few Turkish lira in the bulky fella's direction, all of a sudden the few mild to medium threats come out, as well as the local hospitality. So all the time you have to have eyes in the back of your head, I think, yeah.
Thanks for your time. Going to carry on. Meet Stu Edwards. Stu, selling United We Stand.
Hi, mate.
Going on away with United. What have you made of the season so far?
Pretty mixed, to state the obvious. Obviously a mix, certainly last two or three weeks, with the three defeats on the bounce. Bit disappointed with the fringe players, for want of a better phrase, who have had the opportunity, obviously, away at Feyenoord and more recently in Northampton, and I'm pretty sure a lot of those will probably be featuring in the starting 11 tonight as well. So I think they need to kick on and show a bit more, you know, passion, I suppose, and a bit more determination about trying to get into the you know, the main starting 11, or certainly on the bench. Very interesting, obviously, about, you know, Wayne was putting the bench last week. There's a few injuries knocking around, but like I said, overall it's been pretty mixed. No one's really stamped the position down for me. I know it's very early, you know, we're only sort of 2 months into the season, so I think the next 2 months are very important. Fergie used to say, didn't he, you know where you are around Christmas time and you know how your team are playing. So it's going to be interesting tonight, especially because I'm pretty sure, including myself, many others, and probably most of the players know very little about this team.
Thanks for your time. We've got a Ukrainian here. You're a Ukrainian. Tell us a bit about Zorya.
Latest United We Stand.
Don't know much about him, to be honest. Just
are you Ukrainian?
My granddad is, yeah.
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 So why is your second name Shaw?
It's my mum's side. So
right.
That's my dad's second name.
So where's your grandfather from in Ukraine?
Ivan Frankovitsky is from. Yeah. Left there from when he was about teenage though. During the war, he got caught by Nazis, his family got caught by Soviets.
Yeah. And then what happened?
Well, he's
I'm not taking the piss, this is interesting.
No, he didn't see them again until 1992.
Really?
So
after getting captured, yeah. He was taken then to Germany.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And was on the western side when the war finished.
Yeah.
Couldn't go back until 1992. Yeah. Post Perestroika and Glasnost when.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. And then that's really interesting.
It was dangerous for him to go to the Soviet Union then. After that, so then he.
It's not the reason there's a war, is there?
No. Anybody that was on the west side. You know, after the war,
there's a car going past there with a very loud exhaust. It's obviously very impressive.
KGB,
that his exhaust is so loud.
Yeah.
Latest United We Stand 250.
You know Bert Trautmann, the old City goalkeeper.
Yeah.
He was captured in Ukraine.
Yeah.
By the partisans, and then he was captured by the Americans on the Western Front. He escaped from both, and then he was captured by the British, and he didn't escape from there, and he was interned in a prisoner of war camp in Haydock.
Yeah, yeah.
one of the most interesting men I've ever interviewed, Bert Trautmann, even though he was a blue. So, have you been to Ukraine? Is there a strong link?
There is a strong link, yeah. I mean, my mum...
Is there a Ukrainian community in Manchester?
Oh, yeah, there's a massive one, yeah.
Tell me about it. I know nothing about it. I know about the Cypriots. I know about the Greeks.
All your families and things like that, they all go to Ukrainian clubs and things like that. And there's one in Cheetham Hill.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Have
quite
you been
a big
there?
One. Yeah, yeah. There's one in Middleton as well. Well, it was. That's closed down now.
And what do you do when you go? Just sing Ukrainian songs?
Oh, years ago now. They're trying to teach you the language and that sort of stuff.
Can you speak it?
Nobody cares, no. Just go outside and play football, yeah. Yeah.
But fair play to them for trying to keep the history going.
Oh, yeah, it's massive.
But not to you for turning your back on it.
No, there's a church there in Cheetham as well, a Ukrainian church. So,
can you speak any Ukrainian?
No.
Have you got any away game?
No, I'm not, no. I was going to, but...
And then you saw footage of Fenerbahce fans getting set alight.
Just the flight times, it's a bastard to get to.
It is. It's very, very hard, actually.
I'd say, go to Gatwick for 2 a.m, and I just can't. I'll go, try and get on another one after Christmas instead.
Do you know anything about Zorya Luhansk?
I know that, the place where they're playing the home games at the moment is not where they're from. It's a very far east Ukraine, isn't it?
It's in Russian-held territory at the moment.
People's Republic of Ukraine, and some own it, don't they, at the moment? So, yeah, I know they're not from where they are, and it's very war torn where they're from.
Just before I come back and ask you about the Europa League, I'm just going to ask Steve Armstrong just a quick question. You're well known to people listening. I'm only going to ask you one.
I'm from Austin. I've seen far worse than his granddad.
I'm only going to ask you one question. You're having a cameo in this podcast, nothing more. Did your passport office really refuse your passport because you look too angry in your picture?
Yes, is the answer to that question, yeah. I've just shown you the picture of it.
And I can believe it, but I think the listeners deserve to know.
The thing is,
you've gone to get your new passport and you've said, you look too angry, we're not giving you a passport.
I've had to go for one of them fast-track ones because I've got a work gig coming up where I need my passport, so I can't post it off and risk it not turning up. So I had the snap thing and sat in one of them little booths. And it was one of them, but it says, do not smile. So I tried my hardest not to smile.
You definitely didn't smile.
I did well, didn't I? So, yeah, so anyway, I'm sat there.
You look like you're menacing the fucking machine.
Yeah, yeah, well.
You're going to smash the machine.
So the woman said, and the thing is, I obviously had to get to the passport office in Liverpool, so I've got this woman in a really fine Liverpoolian accent saying words to the effect of, you're not using that, you're going to have to go and have another one done. So I had to go on a... I had to go for an all. But then you get 5 goes on this machine, and then you get a shot of it, and then it says, do you want it or not? And I ended up having I got it right on picture number 5. But yeah, cheeky bastards kicking me out for looking angry.
You went abroad on a
passport.
Don't
tell
Mike
that
Tyson
story. Do not tell that story.
You went abroad.
No.
On a passport.
No.
All right. Being told we're not allowed to tell this. Just tell us a little bit about Zorya's left back.
I'm quite certain that he's never been thrown out of a passport office for looking angry. Put it that way.
And finally, you're taking Europa League seriously. I know you're not picking the team and responsible for whether the team take it seriously or not, but as a fan, I am.
At the start of the season I was, but it was hard watching that the first game, weren't it, against Feyenoord. And I expect...
You didn't have to go to it.
I expect a low crowd tonight. Probably more of the same. The other problem as well is with selling. It's another 3 games before Christmas that you've got to get out of work early and get down to the ground for 5 o'clock. So it's not really welcome.
All right. That's an answer full of enthusiasm that we expect from one of our regulars. I'll leave you to it, lads. I'll see you later on. You're gonna do 10 minutes after, or shall I? Right. I'm going to go and try and find an English-speaking Zorya fan who's travelled over here.
Okay.
That is my aim to do that. So I'm now walking over the Bridgewater Canal. It's a beautiful evening. And I've seen some... there's some Zorya fans walking past. Excuse me, you're Zorya fans?
Yes.
I'm doing a United We Stand podcast.
Okay.
And I'm Have you travelled from Ukraine, or you do live in the UK?
We're Ukraine is based in the UK.
Okay, could you tell us a little bit about your club, please?
Yeah, unfortunately they're in the war-torn region of Ukraine, so yeah. They're playing a lot of the games. They're actually based in Zaporizhia, which is in central Ukraine, playing a lot of the games in Odessa. One of the clubs that's sort of appeared from nowhere in the last, 5 or 6 years, and done really well. They've used the loan system really well. They've got some really quite exciting players. Karayev and Petrik in midfield are probably the two to watch, really. They've surprised everybody in Ukraine as well, and everybody's really impressed. And they've just got one of those work-hard spirits. The game against Fenerbahce last week was devastating, really, to concede a goal in the 95th minute, having really deserved to win. It was just disappointing, but yeah, we're not expecting much today. I think the game in Ukraine will be a very different challenge for United.
Going to go to that one.
Yeah, it'll be a good one to go to. Let's say it'll be an interesting one to see. But yeah, just one of those clubs that they've done so well out of what is a really hard situation, not just for the club but for the country itself as well. So
tell us about the Ukrainian community in the UK. I mean, I've been to Ukraine to watch United in Kiev and Donetsk. I've been to Yalta. Yalta and the Crimea, and it's a country I've enjoyed visiting. Obviously it's been in the news for the wrong reasons in recent years. Is there a big Ukrainian community in the UK?
Yeah.
Where's it centred?
So a lot of our family came over just after the war. So a lot of our family and grandparents, really, in my case, came over in sort of 45, 46, 47.
Yeah.
Set up communities in what was the old UK manufacturing hubs of Yorkshire, of Lancashire, of the Midlands, and an element in London as well. Those hubs sort of continue to this day. Our strongest hubs, we've got a really strong community on Cheetham Hill up in Manchester.
Yeah, just been speaking to a young man over there whose grandfather left. In fact, he was captured during the war and he moved over, and he was talking about the church in Cheetham Hill.
Still there. So Manchester's one of our strong ones now. Bradford and London tend to be there, the three main ones. What we're seeing now is a lot of people moving into the UK now from Ukraine, so a new generation of immigrants, and doing more. When our grandparents came across, it was very manual labour orientated, factories orientated manufacturing, but now we're seeing a lot of very highly skilled Ukrainians move across, moving into the big city centres. So Leeds has got a new wave, exactly, we call white collar, really, labour coming into the UK. But those three communities are the main ones. We do a lot to keep up the culture of Ukraine. We have concert, Ukrainian. We have a lot of Ukrainian artists coming across.
He's a dancer.
Yeah, I can do Ukrainian dancing.
What is Ukrainian dancing?
Ukrainian dancing is all about breaking your knees, effectively. So getting down, kicking legs, and stuff like that. So I'm actually having a cheeky night off tonight from a performance of Fiddle on the Roof, which features some of the Ukrainian dancing. It is knee-breaking work. But we do, stuff like that. So we do a lot of cultural stuff, support our culture. We do Ukrainian Beer Festival in Bradford. Manchester's really good at getting some Ukrainian bands across, modern Ukrainian bands across. And, we keep it going as much as we can,
Did you visit Ukraine?
Yeah, I was in Ukraine, just a month ago for 25 years of independence. So obviously after the breakup of the Soviet Union, Ukraine announced its independence. So I was there for that. So towards Kiev, the capital. Yeah. Lviv, home of a lot of our ancestors, Western Ukraine.
That's where Shakhtar are playing at the moment.
Shakhtar are playing most of the Champions League games out there. Yeah, it's got a nice arena there. And then we went down to the south, to the coast of Odessa, which is a resort that you'd find anywhere in sort of developed Europe, as you say, in Spain or Portugal. It's the same, and just a beautiful place to be, and cheap for anybody that's willing to travel, and good beer.
A lot of people who I know are going to go and travel there in December. They're looking forward to it. They had good experiences last time. What does the political situation mean to people here? Is that a source of immense sadness with what's going on there?
Sadness and anger, frustration. We had a revolution in 2004 that we thought was, we all supported that revolution in 2004. And unfortunately, we went back into our old tricks. As you say, in Ukrainian politics, the same happened again. Obviously, this time in 2014, a lot of Ukrainians have given their lives for the revolution. On Maidan, so 100 people and more died literally fighting for the cause and changing the government at that time.
On your what?
On Maidan, which is the central square in Kyiv.
I've been there.
100 people or more died on that square, and if you go now, there's a lot of memorials just off the square. And, you know, we're waiting to see things happen. We're waiting for reform, waiting for the reform of the economy, waiting for the reform of the judicial system, the political system, and it just seems to be so slow.
And we're trying to do this whilst we're at war with Russia. That's making life really, really difficult. The fact that, like it or not, we are at war with Russia, and they've got troops stationed in Crimea, but more importantly in eastern Ukraine,
in the area where Luhansk basically got troops there.
They're still killing Ukrainian troops every day. So whilst there's a ceasefire, you look at the Ukrainian news, and every day there are casualties, deaths, and well over two and a half million people have been displaced from eastern Ukraine into central and western Ukraine.
So they've moved to Kiev, they've moved to
Lviv. And Lviv and Odessa, yeah.
So you've got a northern English accent. Your parents moved...
My parents moved to Oldham. Right. So I was born and bred in Oldham, so I'm an Oldham Athletic fan. So
fantastic. You speak Ukrainian?
I speak Ukrainian. I'm his dad, so...
Yeah? No,
I used to do Ukrainian dancing, but I'm past it now.
How many Zorya fans will be here tonight? And have I even pronounced it correctly?
You did well there.
Yeah, you did well. Zorya Luhansk.
And we're expecting 150 to 200 tonight.
Yeah. Will any of them come from Ukraine?
I think there's a plane full of veterans. We've met a couple
who've come from Ukraine in front of the main stand tonight, so... And like Evan says, they'll come with a team, so they'll have a ballot, and the club will allocate tickets to fans, and they'll come with the club.
Can you teach us some Ukrainian? Live, 20,000 people listen to this.
Що хочу, щоб 20,000 людей мене чули, як я слабо по українськи говорю. So I've just said, do you want 20,000 people to hear how poor I speak Ukrainian?
we'll teach them an easy one. So, Slava Ukraini, which means glory to Ukraine. So, Slava Ukraini.
And the response is, Heroyan Slava, which is glory to the heroes.
Before you go, we've talked about Ukraine, you've talked about Oldham Athletic. I'll tell you a little story. In June, I went to the European Championships. I work as a journalist. Right. I was covering... Ukraine against Northern Ireland.
Yes, we were there.
In Lyon.
Yeah, we were there.
I took a tram from Lyon Parkview station to the stadium, and it was full of Northern Irish and Ukrainian fans. And for some reason, and I don't know the answer to this day, there were a dozen Oldham Athletic fans on there from Oldham singing something like "We All Live in a Blue and White World." Went on and on and on, and I put it onto Twitter, and then the club was like retweeting this. And these lads then found out that people were talking about them.
Yeah.
And you might have made the tram journey, it's like 35 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought, this is mental. I've now got Ukrainian fans were learning Oldham songs at this point, so you would have been in your element.
That's the way it should be, yeah.
But these boys cycled from London to Lille.
Right. To watch Ukraine.
To watch Ukraine. But it's a fundraising in support of the...
So you went casualties. Out to the European Championship?
Yes.
For casualties of the war?
Yeah.
So we cycled out as a charity trip from London to Lille, as said, so the 250 kilometres that was. And then we just supported Ukraine, not very well, as it turned out. But yeah, we supported
Ukraine. It was a shame,
wasn't it? Yeah, it was a real shame. Like I say, the Northern Ireland game that you were obviously at was such a disappointment for us because just didn't turn up. And we've got some friends in the camp, and I think it was just a case of Ukraine underestimated.
I went to the Poland game as well in Marseille.
And that was a real shame. I think, to be fair, it's one of those weird ones that we're already out, so it didn't really matter to us. But we were just so disappointed. And Ukraine travelled in numbers. Ukraine always do travel in numbers.
Huge
and
numbers.
Today, we're only going to see 250 people here for what is quite a small club that's, like as I mentioned earlier, have come from nothing to this in 5 years, and this is their first trip to England. But yeah, we do. The Ukrainian national team does travel in numbers. Like we've been at Wembley a couple of times where there's been 3,000 or 4,000 Ukrainians there. So it was just
and you've produced some legendary footballers, haven't you?
We have.
And Lobanovsky is one of the greatest coaches in the history of football.
Yeah, absolutely. We always that's one of the days that we always remember when Lobanovsky's birthday, Lobanovsky's passing. Yeah, he was revolutionary. Really, like you know, we talk about Arsene Wenger changing the face of English football, but Lobanovsky changed the world football and how we talked about statistical analysis and stuff. And we talk about Prozone and whatever else. being the norm now, but that was Lobanovsky 20 years ago, 30 years ago, doing that bit on what, like, Mac, literally on side rules and on paper on graphs and stuff, and everybody knew where they were meant to be playing.
And so Manchester United would have played Dynamo Kiev in the final in 99 had Bayern Munich not overcome Dynamo Kiev and that great Dynamo side.
What a great Dynamo side.
Is it Dynamo?
Dynamo, the great Dynamo side of 98-99, which led by Shevchenko and Rebrov, obviously. And to be honest, that one always, we always remember that team. It's second Dynamo, a good, 15 years to get back to a level that was even close to that. Like, it was the first time they qualified for the second round last year in 15 years. And yeah, it's just a real shame to see what happened to Dynamo. And that 99, that Bayern game, was a game that should have won. It should have been United versus Dynamo in the final. And for me, as a Ukrainian and a Man United fan at heart, would have been a real difficult one to watch.
So I'm walking into the ground now. I expected to have to look around for ages to try and find a Zorya fan.
Yeah, you have to open it.
Okay, I'm just having my bag checked. There we go.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. All right. Cheers.
Cheers. And that's my bag being checked because security at Old Trafford is very, very tight now. And I bumped straight into that group of fans and I found it really interesting. And I love that about going to football, is the people you can meet like that. They're a really nice, interesting group of people. And I hope you enjoyed them being on the podcast. So I'm going to go into the ground now. Prediction, I think United are going to win. But as you may have gathered, I'm usually optimistic going into games. And then, you know, De Bruyne takes United apart. And we'll join you after the match. United We Stand is sponsored by betonbrazil.com. It's a new betting site for all sports punters with great odds, markets and offers. Listeners to this podcast can now get a free £10 when they deposit £10 just by using the promo code United10. Just visit betonbrazil.com and enter the promo code United10 when you deposit your £10 and you'll get £10 free. Sign up now at betonbrazil.com. Betonbrazil.com is for over 18s only. Betting should be fun, so please gamble responsibly. Well, come out the ground. United won 1-0. It was a disappointing night, even though it was the third victory for Manchester United in the space of a week, following three consecutive defeats. It was quite flat. There's some young kids inside the ground who'd thankfully been given tickets, and they were making plenty of noise, but it was still quite flat. The atmosphere was flat. The game was flat. And it took a goal from Zlatan Ibrahimovic in the 69th minute after Wayne Rooney had come on to get the 3 points, which are needed if Manchester United are going to qualify from this Europa League group following the first game defeat away at Feyenoord. But United needs to play much better. And there's a real sense, I feel, that this is a new team coming together with a new manager. And you can look across at City and say they're coming together far more quickly in United or not. But this is how it is for Manchester United at the moment. There are positives for individual performances and there are negatives as well. The form of some players, it disappoints. We're going to come to the lads outside the ground in a minute. They're going to have their opinions talking about it. But the 3 points is probably the most important thing. And the next games are more difficult. I think Fenerbahce comes in between away games at Liverpool and Chelsea, so it's a tough competition, but United have got the squad big enough to compete for it. I don't see any excuses there. I think United should try and win it as well. I'm not into playing the competition down, running it down. It's the only European competition United have not won, and it offers a direct route into the Champions League should Manchester United not finish in the top four. We all seem to think they will, but we fought the same last season and the season before. Doesn't always go to plan. Anyway, here's the lads after the game.
It's post-match after the Europa League game. United 1, Zoya Luhansk 0. It's got to be right up there with that Roma game, hasn't it, that?
Roma 8-1.
That was 7-1, yeah. It's got to be up there.
Yeah, sorry, 7-1. It's close, yeah. I can't wait to get home and watch the highlights. So let's make this a quick podcast, because I'd love to talk about it for about an hour, but I need to get home and
it will be quick because Andy's used at least half of the airtime talking to some overseas. Yeah, he knew it was coming. Yeah, absolutely. You'll probably detect from the tone of us, and also if you did happen to be unfortunate enough to actually watch it, that was a pretty dire effort from United. does nothing to enhance the current mood around the club and the current issues around players and staff and all that kind of stuff. But we'll do our best to drag something out of it. United ended up winning it with a goal from Ibrahimovic. Rooney will probably claim that assist was meant and that he should be immediately put back into the squad as a result of that one. And I'm going to come to you. Pick the bones out of that.
Bit disappointed with the team selection. This is one thing I've said over the last 3 years is where I miss Ferguson the most. He'd bring in all his second string for a game like that, and he'd win it quite comfortably. I'm a bit worried that we're going to have players a bit cold, like Schneiderlin, who we're going to end up relying on, had no game time. Damian's just been completely banished. Ashley Young's not even getting a game.
You just said you're worried about Schneiderlin.
No, I mean, at some point...
I'm worried he's still there.
At the end of the day, we've got a big blonde-haired tree, haven't we, holding the midfield? So I think I'd rather that than Carrick or Schneiderlin when Eden Hazard plays against us in a few weeks. So I certainly don't want Fellaini chasing after him again. So I just think we're not using our squad, and it's times like this where you think of Ferguson and he'd get a contribution out of every single player, and we just seem to, you sort of like know the team before you turn up, don't you?
Doves, that team was more than good enough to slam them out of sight.
Oh, he comfortably should have done. I mean, let's face it, in the end that was a rain shower away from knocking Cluj off number one spot in the top the of European glory in Axel Trafford. I agree with Ant in a sense then. It's pretty clear that there's a lot of players there who are not playing at full pelt when it comes to this competition. It should be used to give players on the verge of their first team a chance to sort of knock at the door for me. And the only problem that with the way the competition is at the minute, playing at 80% should still get you through that group. But the moment we come up against a half-decent Spanish side who take the competition quite seriously, they're going to absolutely dick us, to be honest. But I don't know, 3 points and all that, but that's about the best you can get from it.
Thoughts, Aaron?
It's nights like that when you wonder whether we should even be asked for this competition altogether, and that's not a slap to our statement. It's just, you know, really, is there any point if that's what it's going to be like? You know, nights like tonight, we should just be steamrolling teams in the first 20 minutes and just make it a bit easier for yourself instead of huffing and puffing away. And I think that was our first effort on target tonight when Ibrahimovic nodded that in, and it's not good enough, is it?
Stu, you were in the ground, obviously, you got in, and like for the first time this season, or first time in ages, we actually were there for the start of it, weren't we?
Yeah, I'm just fucking pissed off with them all. There's no excuse. Like we've said, we're not going to pick on one player, but the obvious one to pick on is Pogba, just because he's worth 90 million. But he had a shocking game, but so did everyone else, and they all want fucking dragging into training at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning for me, because it's just, that's just shit. That is totally shit against a team who probably fucking have never won a game fucking against anybody near the stature of our club, and it's just embarrassing.
At what point can I start to liken Pogba signing to the one of Neil Webb? What point will you give me permission to do that?
Probably against Stoke on Sunday.
He's not
being played in the right position, is he? And you've got to question yourself there tonight. He's basically put out his strongest side, hasn't he? You know, give or take a few players. And are they really motivated? They should be motivated. Of course they should be, but the crowd's not motivated. No. You know, it's full of kids. You know, which is great for the kids, isn't it?
No away fans, Mads as well.
It was like a practice match. There'll be a bigger atmosphere. A Youth Cup game here. You know, it was just dead, weren't it? And it just makes you wonder whether there's any point in that competition at all.
There was a couple of players there tonight though, just absolutely baffled me how they didn't get a game tonight. Players like Ashley Young, Michael Carrick, I still said before, pound for pound, Fellaini for me is the worst player in the history of the football club. And today did nothing to change my opinion on that. He was absolutely dreadful again today.
And we should have a, you know, when we have one of these international breaks and we've got nothing to talk about, what we'll do, we'll go to the Boozer and we'll pick the worst all-time United 11 just to see where.
Well, there's one of them.
I thought Pogba's not. I'm a bit worried about how United are using Pogba. Said it on Saturday. Basically playing him to chase their midfielders rather than giving him something behind him like Herrera and Carrick, and then letting him you know, bomb forward. Yeah, so that's where he does the damage, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the crowd thing. I mean, I think all of these things do build up to the "I just cannot be arsed" type of mentality, which, you know, and look, we can all go on about the professionalism aspect or not. But Ant's point that about what Ferguson did was he knew that the crowd were going to be like that. So he put players into that side in League Cup games and low-level European Cup games. Yeah, that were just, we didn't care about that. We were going to just play for the shirt type of thing. And maybe you know, maybe I've got a point there.
You may as well played three or four of the under 21 lads tonight who would have fucking ran around trying to prove a point, think, you know, trying to show the manager that you know we're here and hopefully we will break through in the next 12 months. You might as well have. I don't get, like Dove's just mentioned, that the two would be Ashley Young starting, or even over Rojo at left back, Carrick starting.
What benefit do we get from playing Fellaini in that game? It's just none, is it?
That's exactly yeah. The point there. We know what he can do or can't do. We've seen him play 90% of the games this season. I have no understanding why he was in the team.
Do you reckon getting turned over in Rotterdam changed the dynamic of what he had to play in
100%, because he had to win the game tonight. He had to take the 3 points, yeah, without a doubt.
I agree with you there. That's if he wants to progress, and judging off that team selection tonight, he obviously does want to progress, yeah, and he wants to go very far in it, but... You know, it's going to be detrimental to us after Christmas, that, when it comes to the business end, because we'll just come up against an half-decent side in maybe the last 16 quarter-finals. We're not up for it again. Yeah, and Sevilla will go on to win it again.
The thing is as well, I mean, he mentioned earlier in the season that when the games come thick and fast, you then start to give squad players more and more games. And you look at the other competitions, I mean, the League Cup, the next game's at home to City. You don't imagine he's going to be playing a week inside for a game like that. He's not going to want to lose that. So you start thinking to yourself, when are these players going to start actually getting a couple of games?
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen Depay, Young, Schneiderlin, Darmian, all of those type of players on the pitch.
All the shit that got beat in Feyenoord.
Yeah.
Well, that's another point. Why didn't you just trot the same side out and say, right, go and get your pride and respect back? Yeah. Obviously, we've had a proper whinge. Can you pick any positives out of there? Is there anybody who you thought, do you know what? Yeah, he did have a decent attempt at a decent game.
Fucking hell.
Should
go to Stuart. No. Come back to me.
I do it on purpose.
Yeah. It's just the pace of the game doesn't allow anyone to have a decent game, does it? It was like a practice match. You could turn up at Carrington tomorrow and watch him, and you could probably pick a better performance out, because it was just that slow and pedestrian. It was almost like we were expecting to win without creating any chances. It was weird.
I thought Ibrahimovic was all right. I thought he was sometimes in the wrong area of the pitch. He led the line, got the winner. I thought Baye at the back was solid enough. But other than that, it's hard to find a player who was more than a 5-6 out of 10. It was just one of those sort of games.
Yeah, it was pretty dire, wasn't it? Anyone stick out for you, man?
No, nobody.
Yeah, nor me either. Yeah. Anyone get what the crowd was? I didn't hear them announce it, which usually means they're going to fudge it.
I reckon it was late 50s, 60,000. I reckon maybe late.
What do you reckon?
60, I reckon. 60?
Yeah. Say about 50.
Yeah, they had about 24, didn't they?
Yeah.
I counted them. I was at board 42. Well, was. Well, and they were louder than the singing section.
Well, the weird thing is, I was looking at the normal away end thinking, fucking fair play to them, they bought a crate. Then they all started blowing them fucking horns that all them kids had. That was, I mean, forgetting the performance and everything else, that was the worst thing about tonight, them kids. I mean, I'm all for kids. I'm all for kids being don't in the ground, right? But there. Them fucking air horns are just...
Can even call with a half-time countdown. Just not them air horns.
Did you? We did, didn't they? As well.
Yeah, no, there was a half-time countdown and air horns. Fucking grim, yeah.
So it's a great £21 spent tonight.
Fucking hell. I bet the shops are clean out of Skittles tonight, aren't they? Yeah, fucking little bastards. Let's have a quick two more. Obviously, Stoke, which is another midday after the Thursday night game. Quick 2 minutes on Stoke. What are you expecting? Obviously, the likes of Herrera and Blind will be backing, won't they?
I do. I think we'll beat them comfortably. Yeah, I've watched Stoke a couple of times this season, and I think the only creativity they have is Shaqiri, and he's injured, isn't he? So I really don't see him troubling us.
Yeah, they're obviously struggling a little bit, Stoke. Are they bottom of the league at the minute? I think.
And again, fucking Zola Hans could just cause a few problems. I don't know.
Yeah. They seem to have lost their identity a bit, Stoke, don't they, of what you've been used to over the last couple of years. And suddenly they've got a few nice little footballers in the pitch, but without lost that ability to sort of win ugly. But I hate these sort of games, though, when the stats all point in the direction of United, and it just stinks, seems of like a Stoke's first win of the season kind of thing.
But it does build up to a bit of that, does it? Aaron, what are you expecting, sort of similar team that beat Leicester?
Yeah, I'm expecting a similar team, and I want a dissimilar performance to tonight. I think on your own games against sides like Stoke, you just need to be rattling at them, don't you, from the first minute, and get a goal in the first 15-20 minutes, and then they've got to come out, because the longer it builds up, the more difficult it gets. And the way we're playing at the minute, there's not really much interplay, is there? And it's looking like, yeah, I've lost me fucking way.
Stu, United, last word to Stu. United should bury Stoke at the weekend, shouldn't they?
Should be in the operative word, but
noon kickoff and all that always spanners it a bit, doesn't it?
I've got fucking reservations about it, if I'm being honest. If we play like we did first 40 minutes whatever against Leicester, then it shouldn't be a problem, but probably fucking end up one each or something.
It probably
season all over again, this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's starting to end back that way. Yeah, absolutely. Listen, we're going to go now. Andy's got loads. Andy interviewed loads of people, so we've just had enough, and we can't be bothered doing anymore. And plus, I'm up early because I want to get down to the shop and buy a Telegraph immediately to read what Mike Hughes has been up to. So, fucking blue bastard. Right, lads, I can't even see where you all are because the lights have gone out in our studio. So I'm just going to say thanks for coming on and sparing us some time post match. Yeah, indeed. We'll be back on the podcast after the game against Stoke on Sunday. But till then, cheers.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.